Good evening. Such is the nature of life that all to ask and all at once is an opportunity to appear. You are that opportunity, and so am I. It is the purpose of this teaching to make this essential truth of our being aware to us. With that said, this is the end of the month, and we were talking all month about being ready. Ready to what? Ready to receive. Ready to bring into our life the things that we have always wanted. If it was a dream, if it was a this, if it was whatever it was, it is time to open your mind and open your heart and open your arms to receive what you want. If you're not receiving what you want, you cannot blame it on the universe, and you cannot blame it on this thing called God. You have to blame it on your own small mind. The mind that we use, of course, is the mind of God. But we get so conditioned by the world and by society and by our peer groups and everything else, we think that things cannot happen for us. Somebody, I think it was last week, came up and talked. This thing called God, you know, doesn't know the difference between big and small. Only we know that. So if you want a dollar, you think, oh, I could probably manifest a dollar, but I couldn't manifest $1 million because it's too big. God doesn't know the difference between big and small. God doesn't know the difference between an ant and an elephant. God only knows life. God only knows life. And we are part of that life. We are part of that God. So when we're not manifesting in our life, it is because of our own mind, our own thinking. And the whole idea in life is to change your thinking, or change your brain, if you wish to call it that, so that you have no negations going on in there, so that you know that you're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. When you know those things and accept those things for yourself, what you want will come into your life. So we take the responsibility for our lives, and when we're not getting what we want, it's because we're holding it back, not because of this thing called God. I hear that all the time. God doesn't want me to have this. God wants you to have everything. People often ask, what is the will of God? The will of God is for good, always for good. The will of God for you is good and greater good. Remember, you're always moving from your good to your greater good. That is what this power, this thing that we call God, does. Moves forward into goodness always. Sees only good. Wants only good for you. Why? Because you are one with it. You and God are one in the same thing. Our small minds tell us that that is not true. And we have been conditioned to think that there is always a power bigger than we are. Yes, collectively, and yes, this thing called God is a large, large power. You can call it that. But we are part of that power. And since we're part of that power, we are able to use that power. So you're able to use the power that this thing called God has. The other thing that we have to remember is the mind that we're using is the mind of God. There is no my mind, your mind, and God's mind. There's only one mind, the mind of God. And we are all living, moving, and having our being in that one mind. And that mind wants good for you. It wants you to have what you want. That's what we try to teach, so that we don't have that idea that we're not enough, so God will not give it to us. And we have this other idea that God shows favorites. Some people can get things and other people can't get things. That's a bunch of horse. Don't listen to that. If you want something, go for that thing. I know that this power wants you to have it. Then figure out for your own self what is keeping me back from it. It's something in my consciousness. It's something in my mind. It's something that I heard perhaps when you were a child. And you must get rid of that. And when you get rid of the negations, and you accept yourself as one with this power, then everything will come into your life. Everything will come into your life. One of the strongest affirmations that you can make for yourself is, I always get what I want. I always get what I want. And we don't do that, you see, because we were taught that you can't get everything that you want. And you hear that constantly. You hear that in the world. Turn on the radio, the television, look at the newspaper, and somebody will always tell you, well, you can't have it all. And you can have it all. And everyone can have it all. Because we're not cutting up a piece of pie here. You know. And people think, oh, he's got a bigger piece of the pie. No, he's got his own pie and you have your own pie. And that's what you have to remember with this thing. Now, the other thing is, when I tell you, say these things, please do not let your mind discourage you and think, oh, well, there's something wrong with me. There's nothing wrong with any of us, and there's nothing wrong because at the present moment, we're not manifesting what we want. What we have to do is change your mind and know that we can do that. So don't punish yourself in any way and say, well, I guess I'm not doing this correctly. I haven't gotten it yet, or I haven't accepted this for myself, or whatever that is. You just keep on asking, and you just keep on doing till you get it, but you have to make yourself believe. That's an all. Remember last week I told you, God doesn't ask you to try harder. God asks you to believe more. It's all done with belief. It's not done with trying. It's done with believing. So this is what this opening yourself up, making yourself ready to receive what you want. We have to do that. And we have many examples in the Bible to tell us that that is absolutely true if you look at it metaphysically. And they are, the ones that I can remember off the top of my head are, knock and the door will open, seek and ye shall find. And there's a third thing there with that. Knock and the door will open, seek and ye shall find. Ask and it will be given unto you. You have to ask. You see, my brother, when I was living with my family, my brother got tons and tons of things because he asked for them. And I said to him one day, how do you do that? He says, I asked for it, Dallas. If it's not worth asking for, it's not worth having. You have to ask for it. I was too timid to ask. I was too timid in those days to ask for what I wanted. I thought it would just happen. They would know. They would read my mind. They would do that. And many people think this about God. They think, oh, God will know what I want. God will read my mind. God is not in the mind-reading business, people. There's no crystal ball when God says, oh, I think that person wants this. You have to ask. You have to tell God. You have to tell this power, this is what I want. People sit around thinking, well, God should know that I want this, that, and the other thing. Why? Why? No. Ask. Ask. And this thing of knocking, just keep knocking till the damn door opens, people. It will eventually open. Do not give up. Do not give up. Remember? That was Winston Churchill. Never, never, never give up. And that's what this teaching is all about, is never giving up. You keep going, you keep believing until you're able to manifest what you want. Now, I don't care how long that takes you to do, it will happen for you. But here is the most wonderful thing, and I remind myself of this all the time. Do not get discouraged. Because God will always give you back the years that the locusts ate. God will always give you back the years that the locusts ate. What does that mean? That means all this time that you were waiting and all these years that you may have been waiting, they will completely disappear once you manifest, once you get what you want. You will not even remember that. It doesn't mean that you're going to live another 100 years or another 10 years to make up for the 10 years that you fucked around. Whoops. It doesn't mean that. It means that once you get what you want, you will completely forget all that struggle, all that stuff. And that God will always give you back the years that the locust ate. The years that the locust ate. Perhaps, I can use an example. I'll ask somebody here if that isn't true. Did you not get back all the years that the locust ate when you married Jerry? Absolutely. You forgot all the... Didn't you forget it? You forgot all that other stuff that you were going through, didn't you? That's what it means. The years that the locust ate. Okay, now I'm ready to answer questions. Yeah, you can see I'm still working on that swearing, can't you? Sorry about that. Angels and spirit guides are thoughts, they're ideas that come to you. Angels come in forms of ideas to you. Now, you can actually see an angel if you want, but metaphysically, angels are ideas that are coming to you. And you ask for those things, and there's nothing wrong with about believing in angels. We'll never get over not believing in angels because they have been in our consciousness, in Rafe's mind, for so long that they'll always be there, you see. But metaphysically, an angel is a new idea, is a new thought that's coming to you. And that's an angel coming. Does that help you?
What?
Go ahead.
Yes. And I'll ask you this at the present moment, and then that'll help your question. For the month of December, I have two things in mind to do. One would be the title, or the theme for the whole month would be, 'Tis the Season. But I could talk about what's called life particles. Life particles is the idea of prana. Life particles are all around us. At a sub-atomic level, all things are the same. The same material that we are made out of, everything in the galaxy is made out of. Everything in the universe is made out of. It's all the same. Now, we call those life particles. Now, we take those life particles and we change them into whatever we want. Now, to answer your question, we can do exercises for the month of taking these life particles, seeing these life particles, bringing these life particles down through our crown chakra, opening our crown chakra. And when these life particles come down, they are going to change your consciousness, and they're going to get rid of the stubborn things that you can't get rid of. They will wash them away. They will take them, because you're going to change your consciousness by using life particles. Now, I usually don't get into that type of thing, but I've been thinking about it, and because we only have 3 talks in December, if you would like to do that, and we can do some guided meditations, we can do some visualization, and we can bring these life particles so that you can actually feel the life particles and actually start to see the life particles, because they're all around us. And they are the building blocks for everything that we're doing. Then you can learn to take those building blocks and you can learn to take that energy and that vibration out, and you can manifest with that. Would that help you? All right. So you want to, would you like that? It's metaphysical, but it's off the beaten path, you know. And we only have 3 talks in December, so we'll do that. I think it would be an immense help to you because it's a technique and it's another tool that you could use, you see, to bring things into your life. Okay?
So you're saying light particles are the atoms that are...
Light particles are not only the atoms, the subatomic things, but they're what in India they would call the prana, the life that we're always breathing, you know. And they're subatomic particles. At that subatomic level, everything is exactly the same. And then we take those particles, and it's always the same particles, by the way. I think I've told you that before. All you're doing is rearranging. You see, the same particle that's making up me is making up this chair, but they're rearranged differently, that's all. And we can learn to rearrange them. So if that's not too far out or too spooky for you, I'll talk on it for 3 weeks, okay? All right.
We are called many things. What is the official name? How did we get it and when?
You mean that we were called humans? That we came to New Thought. Well, New Thought is not New Thought. We have what we call the New Thought movement. But when this man named Jesus was here 2,000 years ago, that was New Thought, you see. So it's always, what we teach is New Thought, but it's old thought. Some of the New Thought movements are a little bit different. But we're not those, but I never know if it's right wing or left wing, a fringe. So a lot of New Thought things are on the fringe of things. They're not connected. This teaching is based on thought that was used 500 years before the birth of Christ. It was used by the Essenes, if anyone's familiar with the Essenes. So this teaching
of mind, where does that?
The science of mind started with Ernest Holmes, and that's I don't think it's even 100 years old by now. And Ernest Holmes lived here in Los Angeles. Now, what Ernest Holmes did, and many people think that he invented science of mind. He wrote a book. It's a compilation book. He took the truths from all the teachings, at all the little threads that ran through all the teachings, and compiled them into a book called The Science of Mind. Yes, he wrote the book, but he did not come up with the idea of science of mind. Does that help you? It was always it. Yeah. But so many people get confused with that. They think that Ernest Holmes invented what we call New Thought. And no, Ernest Holmes did not invent New Thought. They call it New Thought. But I think they get away from that now. There used to be New Thought. They used to call it New Thought churches. Now they still use that? Oh, okay.
What are we officially known as now?
Science of mind.
How did we get that term?
Well, we get that term science of mind because we're always talking about the mind. We're always talking about our mind. And because we can prove these things scientifically, it becomes a scientific teaching. So they put them together and call it science of mind. Anytime the word science is used, it has to be able to be proven. If I can do it, the formula... You have to be able to do the formula and get the same result. If you don't, it's not scientific. That's how the scientific community works for anything. So it's a scientific teaching.
would Scientology be considered?
Absolutely
one of
not.
No, no.
Oh, a fringe.
May I
oh,
finish?
Yes, I'm sorry.
I always. No, I know better. Is Scientology considered to be one of those fringe
yes.
new thoughts?
Yes. Scientology is a fringe thing. Fringe component. I was never, down on Scientology. I know people with Scientology. In fact, we used to have a lady here that tried to kill her. Because they didn't want her to leave the church with all the knowledge that she had. This is true. I've tried to get into, just for my own edification, to read those books. I picked up Dianetics. I thought it was the most confusing thing that I couldn't understand a damn word the man was saying. And I read this stuff all the time. I thought it was just, I don't know how these people, and I'll say Tom Cruise because we know he's in it. I don't know how he reads it and understands it. I don't know how anyone in that teaching reads those things and understands what this man is saying. You know. Well, I couldn't do it. So, more power to them if they could.
I have another question.
Yes.
Okay, everybody's talking about it, so I'm going to ask what you think is going to happen. In the Mayan calendar, December 21st.
Yes.
Well,
I don't think anything is going to happen because the people who do the Mayan calendar and who are always talking about the end of the world because the Mayan calendar is going to run out, they never look at it correctly. You see, the information that we get about that is not complete. If you look at the Mayan calendar and you look what they are doing, there are two roads. You're coming to a fork in the road. At that time. Now, you can take this fork, and yes, you'll go into oblivion, or you can take the other fork and continue into something else. But they never tell you. It's always a choice, you see. Now, you can look that up, by the way. And the scholars who have done work on the Mayan calendar and the Mayans and so forth. If you want a man that knows, you can read some of his books, and his name is...
Kumar Kanyan.
No. His name is Braden. You know Braden, yes. He's a scientist, yes, Braden.
You're saying that
yes.
Or you can help your consciousness to keep
rising. That's it.
So it's a choice on that day or around that day.
Yes. Yes.
That's a lovely choice.
Yes. Yeah. But the world doesn't tell you that. You see, the world only teaches doom and gloom people. You have to remember that. The world teaches doom and gloom.
What is she saying? The choice.
The choice is either since you're coming to a fork in the road, are you going to raise your consciousness or are you going to go down? It's just a choice at the end of the Mayan calendar. That's it.
But we're not always asked that choice. Why are we asked that choice?
We're always asked that choice, but it's just not prevalent. You know, we don't see it all the time. But that's all that life is a choice. That's all this teaching is a choice, by the way. All life is a choice. You're always choosing. What are you choosing? How am I feeling? What am I thinking? You see, it's always a choice. You can learn to think anything that you want to think. You know, but why do we think the way we do? Because 100 other people think that way. So we think, oh, well, then I have to join them. You do not have to join them. Choice. All life is a choice. Did your question come in? No. How about you, Mr. Scott?
came up. I dinner with some people in my class that you did. They were talking about manifesting parking spots.
Yes.
And as soon as they get into the car, they're like working on manifesting the parking spot when they get there. And to me, just like I've not thought of something like parking spot. What's your opinion on that?
I'm very good at that. I do it all the time, but I do not think about it. And I do not think about manifesting a parking spot. I have no problem with that one. And I'll tell you why. And that you can use this for anything. If they tell you you can't get a ticket to something, you can get a ticket. It's all. And what is the idea that you have to know? There's always a place for me in the universe. And you see, people can't get a parking space. They don't think that there's a place for them. And if you call up and they say that they're out of tickets or we don't have a room in the hotel and all, your mind's, there's no place for me. You have to know that there's always a place for you in the universe. Now, most of the time there are tickets held back. Nothing is ever completely sold out. Hotels always have rooms that they hold on to, you say, even though they tell you that they're sold out. But the main thing if you want in your life is to know there is always a place for me in the universe. And if you do that, you'll always find a parking space, by the way. Now, the people that can do that, and you see here again, let's go back to the idea of big and small. You see, people say, I can manifest a parking spot. That's easy. Well, if you can manifest a parking spot, you can manifest anything else. God doesn't know the difference between that parking spot, big and small, and what else you want. But you see, your mind says, that's a small thing. I can do that small thing. And you get very excited. And some people will never move past that. I know people that have been in this teaching for years. They can manifest a parking spot, but they cannot manifest one other thing. And they're quite content with being able to do a part. And they think they call it the parking God. They call it the parking karma. They call it all kinds of things. And they think that they have, won the lotto because they can get a parking space. But that's an easy one. So, if you can do that, you can do the other. You don't have any problem with it, right? Getting a parking space?
Not lately.
No, because you don't think about it. Just don't think about it. Other people, when they start out, what is in their mind? When I get to the mall, there'll be no parking. Do you ever hear people? They constantly say, I'll never find a parking space. I'll never find a parking space. Well, you're not going to find a parking space if that's what's going on. And I get it. And when I used to go, I knew some people, I wouldn't go out with them anymore. As soon as I got in the car, you better hurry. We won't get a place. There won't be any. I will not go with them anymore. They drive me absolutely up a wall. Absolutely up a wall. And they bring it on themselves. You see? They bring it. Pardon? Well, they probably, yes, absolutely, but you cannot do that. That's the way people, we've got to leave when we're going to get into traffic. I have to leave early, the 3 o'clock traffic's coming. It's all done with your mind. Yes.
I have such a fun time doing it and
yes.
Doing things, putting things in, whatever. But then I am the one that does the small, the bigger, the small.
Yes. Yes, we do.
I block things that I have heard erase mind, or friends say, just like you said, you can't do this, no such thing, you're letting go so many people, yada, yada, yada. After a while, your brain, mind, whatever, believes that.
Yes.
So, to get rid of that, you have to do that, and then you have to say, well, the bloated nothingness,
Get your blow to nothing and travel the way.
And then you say, see, I'm trying to figure out a way to stamp it out or counteract.
The way to stamp it out is to say there's not a damn bit of truth in it. Because you're taking it as truth.
Yeah.
And you say there's not a damn bit of truth in that. I will not listen to that anymore. I will not allow that in my consciousness. Go back to the nothingness from whence you came. And it will go. It will be. Now, let me see if I can get a little history here for you. Long before you came into this teaching, you were able to do all those little things because you thought they were mystical and magical.
Yes.
You say. They're not mystical and magical. So you have to give up the idea that they're mystical and magical.
So. I realized that I was teaching Unity or whatever I thought it was. I don't know what I thought it was, but now I know what it is.
That's good.
But I still have the blocks.
Yeah. Well, now, never again say you have blocks. And if you do, you say my blocks are dissolving right here and right now.
And I'm a goddess.
You are a goddess.
And I'm not a goddess.
That's it. Yeah. Question? Are you getting in your car every day or every other day at least and driving to Warner Brothers?
No, I haven't done that because the holidays are off. But I'm going to do that and I do it every
Good.
Morning.
Yes. We'll do it both.
Yes.
Do it both. Get out and walk around and look and see. Say that again. I didn't
you need to know exactly what you want.
Yes. Yes. That is the thing that we run into trouble with. We're not sure what we want. You have to be sure what you want. And how do you do that? Make up your mind. This is exactly what I want. And then when it manifests and you don't want it, you don't have to keep the damn thing. You see? You don't have to keep it. Oops, made a mistake. But learn to manifest.
When I would manifest something and there were ups and downs and stuff, I would say, I manifested this.
Yes.
I'm keeping it with
me. Okay.
So I would say that.
Yeah. You can do that.
I say thank you, Father.
Yes.
Yeah, I love that.
Yes. Always be grateful and always have a gratitude, an attitude of gratitude going on. It helps all the time. But what is the main thing, and I think we've talked about this, and I tell you this one all the time, and I think we always forget it. What is the main thing you have to know? See, you forgot it. I'm always being taken care of. You have to remind yourself of that constantly. I'm always being taken care of. This thing that we call God, this thing that we call the universe, that's what it does. It takes care of us. It takes care of us, and it wants to take care of us. This is why in brand new religions and so forth, they call it the Father, Mother, God. Because it's taking care of you. Say. They call it the Father, Mother, God, all that is. See?
Is that the I am as well?
That is the I am. Absolutely. And I remind myself of that every day. And that God is the source and the supply. You have to remember that.
Creator, but I'm creating with the Creator, and then God is the way and means
God is always the ways and means. You're the fun and entertainment. And so many people get that. Listen, you're not going to step on God's toes, because God doesn't have any toes, people, by saying, I create. I used to go to this drumming circle. This man drove me crazy. He'd go, we're co-creating, we're co-creating, we're co-creating. Well, that's a sort of a given. But you can't say all that I am is God, but I'm not all that God is, and then say I'm co-creating. You're creating because you're God. You see? And when you think of you're co-creating with something else, what is that doing? Absolutely. You just separated yourself. You say there's some other power after doing this. It's one of those little mind things that you have to figure out. That man is not around anymore. I had him banished from the place. Go ahead, Scott. I know that you have a question. I know it. But what? Oh, nothing's coming up? Oh. All right, let's talk a minute about, our consciousness of lack and limitation, and this whole idea when we say, the money is scarce, and this is going on, and that's going on. And I just read going out of the supermarket that this other Kardashian girl is getting married now, and she's going to spend $20 million on the wedding. So there's money, people. There's money. And you have to clap your hands and say, thank goodness. Not that I'm for the Kardashians, but there are people spending $20 million, and they tell us that the economy is completely gone and wrecked.
Another wedding.
Not Kim, the other one, whoever she is. The one with
Chloe.
She's spending, going to spend $20 million.
She's already married.
She's
married.
No, it's the other one.
Well, it's one of them. But then, the tagline at the bottom says something about put that in your pipe and smoke it, Kim. You know, now they have to be nasty at the, they have to, that's all base mind, you know. But anyway, when you have to look at those things, you have to say, thank God that these people can spend $20 million. So therefore, the information that I'm receiving from the world is not correct. It's not correct. You know. During our Great Depression, when Franklin Delano Roosevelt was the president, he had the line, we have nothing to fear but fear itself. Now, I'm sure that line, we have nothing to fear but fear itself, and somebody can Google it, it's too bad Andy isn't here, I'm sure it came from Napoleon Hill. Napoleon Hill was a man that wrote Think and Grow Rich. But when he said that, the fear, you see, it was the fear that kept us in the Great Depression. As soon as people started to get rid of their fear, recovery started to come. Recovery. It's done with mind, it's done with consciousness. And they went into fear. And when you go into fear, things stop. When you come out, we got out of the Great Depression, when people started to change their mind. And that's how we'll get out of this, whatever this economic situation is that we're in now.
We just had Black Friday.
Yes.
And all those people are rushing out to spend all this money.
Yes.
That's also indicative of it not being true that the economy is so bad.
Absolutely.
I mean, people are knocking each other over to buy things.
Yes.
So someone has money.
Yes.
A lot of people have money.
Yes.
And we're not talking about the wealthy.
Right. Yeah.
And incidentally, Black Friday to date has set a record for a new high.
Oh, did it? See, there you go.
There you go.
There you go. So there's something. When I look around and I see all that kind of stuff, and then I don't listen to all those, what's going on, because people... Has your business suffered that, all that much? No! Yes, because of that fear came in too and everything. Yeah.
And I see what you're saying about when people started, they've started thinking about it in the big depression, that people just finally just changed their minds about it.
Yes.
I see that happen.
Yes, people.
Like in Christine's business, really.
Right, because you get tired.
Just deciding, you know what, I got to fix my house. I got to look a different way. I want to look here.
Yes.
I see the economy doing it. I see those people pitching tents out in front of the grocery. I mean the malls, the other people.
Well, yes.
Pitching tents so they can be there when the store opens.
And it has to be. Yeah.
That was crazy.
Yeah.
So you have to make up your own mind of what's going on and so forth. And money is never the issue. You must remember that, people, that money is never the issue. It's always going to be something else. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's never the issue. Next. We have time for another one here, people. I have something big. In this teaching, we absolutely believe in karma, but we believe in instant karma, not one that comes back and gets you after 20 years or 100 years or in the last lifetime or whatever. Instant karma is this. You know when you make a mistake, do you not? And you say, oh, I made a mistake. That's karma. And then it's gone. It's released.
Don't you have to feel sorry or feel regretful that you made a mistake?
Absolutely not.
No.
We don't teach. We don't teach guilt. We don't teach regrets. We don't teach that kind of stuff.
Acceptance.
You can, well, you accept it, but you don't beat yourself up and so forth. That's why you have a mistake. What if you didn't know it was a mistake? What if this universe never told you that it was a mistake? My God, we'd be in chaos all the time. You know when you make a mistake and you say, oh, a mistake. I will think differently. I will try something different. I will not go. I do not punish myself for that, because what do we know about God? God never sits in judgment upon itself through you. Never. Never. So don't sit in judgment upon yourself. If you make a mistake, it was a mistake. Everyone makes a mistake. People who say they have never made a mistake are liars.
But that's what I meant. Don't you have to acknowledge the fact that you made a mistake? I don't mean beating yourself up.
Well, yes, you say I made a mistake.
Yeah.
Why do most people have a problem with admitting that they made a mistake? It's the ego mind. The ego mind will not allow you to say that you made a mistake. Haven't you been in relationships and so forth with people? They will not admit that they made a mistake. They will not admit it, because that's the ego mind. That will not allow that to happen. And you have to say, oh, it was just a mistake. And get rid of that grip that the ego mind has on you. Means nothing, people. It means nothing. Most of the things that you're concerned about, most of the things that you worry about, mean nothing. Mean nothing. Yes. Yes. Peter O'Toole said this. I knew one day that there was a God. Because I was talking to myself. When you're talking to yourself, you're talking to God.
Once in a while, he answers.
Yes.
Not in your voice.
Yes. All kinds of ways to communicate with this power. All kinds of ways. You just have to open. Here again, you have to open yourself to all these things. You know, this teaching says keep an open mind, but not that open that your brains fall out. Oh, many people, their brains fall out. They go nuts. What else did Ernest Holmes say? Several things. He said, you must always have your head in the clouds, but you must make sure that your feet are planted on the ground. And most people want to levitate off. You must always have your feet firmly planted on the ground. I don't know if Ernest Holmes said this or it was maybe Rumi, but I think it was Ernest that said this. You must pray, but at the same time, you must tie up your horse. This is a practical teaching, people. Very practical teaching. If you think God's going to take care of your horse and it's going to run out, the same way, well, look at all these people let their animals, their dogs and cats, run out and get killed by the car. Oh, well, so God's going to, no, God's not going to take care of that. I'm sorry. You dumbass, you put the cat out there and this car ran over it. You know, tie up your horse, pray. Yes, God is going to take care of me, God. But you had to be practical about the whole thing also, you see. Right? Remember, I'll tell one more story, and I've told this before, and then you can think of a question. Do you remember the story of Patty? Remember Patty? The flood was coming up. They came to Patty and they said, you better get out because the flood is coming and the water is starting to rise. And he said, I will not be concerned about that. God will take care of me. They sent a rowboat when it got high and they said, get in. No, God will take care of me. Finally, they sent a motorboat. He said no again. And then he was on the top of his house and the water was all around him. And they sent a helicopter and he said, no, God will take care of me. Of course, he drowned. And when he got to heaven, he said, God, why didn't you take care of me? He said, I sent you a rowboat. I sent you a speedboat. I sent you a helicopter. Why didn't you do something about it? You see? They're always being taken care of. They're always being taken care of. And it's wonderful. And so are you, and so am I, and there ends the lesson. Thank you. You better read that. If you do something wrong, words of wisdom. Well, maybe you.